A year ago, I did not know what a doula was. Oh, I know where that word comes from. It actually is a biblical word, but I didn't know what a doula was until my oldest child started taking classes into becoming one. Now, you might wonder, what is a doula? Does anybody know? Ah, a few do. A doula, from what I have come to understand, and please know that my understanding is only in part, a doula is sort of a birth assistant. Someone who is there with a woman and her partner throughout the process of giving birth. Now, this is not a midwife. Someone who medically is helping, you know, with the medical needs or whatever. This is someone who is helping, especially with information, especially with persons who have never done this before. You know, from what I gather, once upon a time, this was a role that was filled by family, who would gather around and be there, especially the women who had been through this before, but with sort of the breakdown of the extended family in this world, you know, what happens to that? When you just have a woman alone in the world or with a spouse who has not experienced such a thing. A doula is there to provide information, to support, to care for both throughout the process of birth. Doula. Actually, the word doula in Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, the word doula means a woman servant, or more specifically, a slave, who in that era was attached to a household. And I guess that's where they get this concept. In Greece, I understand, where they fully know what the word doula really means, they come up with other names, because to call somebody in that position a doula is not really getting at what it is all about. Or is it? This concept of doula provided me an entryway into a very, very familiar piece of scripture. Sometimes the problem with scripture that is familiar is that we don't listen to it because we have heard it before. Sometimes we need different doorways to walk through in order to hear something anew. In this scripture, you have a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. But please note, in this, Nicodemus is not just an individual character. As we hear it, we, in this day and age, who often think just in solely individualistic terms, we put ourselves solely into his shoes and see him as someone stepping out of the night, afraid of what others might think of him, a Pharisee, coming to Jesus and asking questions. But if the truth be told, and we can see it in the text, he is speaking for more than just himself. Were you listening? He said in his first time that he came, he said, "Rabbi, we know." He was speaking for more than himself. Perhaps he was speaking for those who wondered about this Jesus and who still had somewhat of an open door in their minds to what this rabbi was saying. And he came to Jesus about this. And Jesus, if you note, later on, also speaks in we terms. Not just I, but we. And in some ways, this scripture is the church speaking to others in their society. It is the church still speaking today. And the way that it is speaking is through that image of birth. Now, please note that phrase, born again, has been used to describe the religious experience. But you know, don't you, that we need to revise that a bit, because actually, born again, in other words, a person needs to be born again, is a misunderstanding. It is actually Nicodemus's screwed up mind that is saying, how can a person be born again? What Jesus said is not born again. It is born from above. Subtle difference? Yeah. But an important one in many ways. Birth. Now, this morning we began, well, after our psalm that affirmed God's faithfulness. The one who will neither slumbers nor sleeps will keep us through all the days of our lives. We entered into the story of Abraham, and we had that twin promise, if you recall the story of Abraham, the promise of a land to call one's own, a promised place. But there was the other promise, the promise of children and grandchildren and peoplehood down the line. An important promise for someone who didn't have any children. The promise of a birth. It's a story of a promise of a birth. The New Testament, I mean, if you think about it, the whole Bible is in many ways a story. I mean, we could define the Bible in a lot of different ways, but it's the story of the birth of faith, the birth of a people, and yes, the death of a people, but the rebirth of a people. And then with the New Testament, a brand new start, the birth, if you will, of the Spirit. Being born from above. How would you describe that? What would you say if you had to? How would you define that to somebody else? You know, there are those among us who can note a particular birthday for themselves. Are you one of them? I'm not talking about the day in which you entered this present existence, like Lois Webb did I don't know how many years ago. I'm talking about kind of a birth into faith. Can any of you name a particular birth date? Anyone? Yeah. What date is that?
Oh, actually, a physical date.
A physical date, yes. Okay.
And I was going on a journey to a new college where I knew no one.
Oh, so a birth. Any others? Yes.
Right here in our church, Christmas of 2005.
Christmas of 2005, yeah. Ah, okay, there's some among us, okay. Now, please do not feel that you are any less than anyone else if you cannot list a date. That is fine. Because think about it. How many of you, are there any among you who remember the day that you actually were born into this life, this existence, your very first day? Anybody here? I know there must be somebody because I've heard tell of it, but anyone? No. It's okay. For some, it is kind of a gradual thing. And please note, as I think about being born from above, I think of it not necessarily as a moment of time, but as a process. Because that is what birth is it not? It is a process. And for many of us, we are born from above, and we are, well, let me put it this way. Our present existence is like being in the womb. The day of our true birth, into, and here is the linkage of Abraham's promise, into the kingdom of heaven and into the people, fully into the people of God, is on that day that is yet to come, the day of our full birth. And for now, you know, the Apostle Paul spoke of it as a, you know, for now we see in a mirror dimly through a glass darkly. You know, we might say we hear as if in the womb. Now, I don't know how many of you, you know, who have been through the process of pregnancy and birth and this physical existence ever did this, but I remember speaking to my kids in utero. Anybody? Yeah? Well, I know, we know that that children, when they are born, they recognize the sound of what? The mother's voice from within. Because they have heard it on the inside. I don't know if some of you ever did. I remember doing that with at least Caitlin. You know, putting some headphones. I don't know if she recognizes any of those songs today. But that is, in many ways, our present experience. What we hear now is but a glimmer. It is but an echo of what is to come. You know, all of our understanding, even as we turn to the Bible and we look ahead to the kingdom of God, all of that is like, well, as the Apostle Paul said, a mirror dimly, you know, through a glass darkly. It is like echoes. It is like being in the womb. Now, if you had to define, where's the womb? What is the womb when it comes to being born of the Spirit? I just said it. It is the Spirit. This is a completely different understanding of the Spirit. You know, it just dawned on me. Now, I so often, you know, the Spirit is hard to nail down. In fact, didn't Jesus say, what did he say? You know, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. It's hard to nail down what exactly is the Spirit. You know, we know that the Spirit is the power of God. It is our very life breath. It is like, you know, the metaphors used in the Bible of it are like a you know, a dove, a descending dove, you know, fire, you know, on the day of Pentecost. What are some of the other images? You know, we think of it as our very, what helps us, helps propel us as believers. But the Spirit is also our womb. It is our protector. It is our umbilical cord. It is the very presence of God which surrounds us. It is our dwelling place. This womb. And let me get back to that doula bit. There are scriptures that are especially meaningful to each one of us. Probably if I asked you, what scripture, when push comes to shove, do you turn to? I know some would turn to the 23rd Psalm. Others would turn to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. Is that one that propels some of you? The one you turn to again and again and again? Is it? Anyone want to claim that scripture? One that I turn to an awful lot is this one. Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible. I confess, the second chapter especially, which holds a song which we think the early Christian church may have sung at baptism. It's a song, yes, that where the Apostle Paul is using it to say, well, have this a mind among yourselves, especially when you get to quarreling with one another. And then the words to this song talk about Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a doula. Of a doula. D-O-U-L-O-U. Doula. Taking the form of a servant, as a slave. I'm going to say, can I pause for a minute? Ed, I was going to say earlier that was a new experience. I'd never, in the children's story, never had somebody answer a cell phone, a kid answer a cell phone. So we're even now. Okay, got it. Okay. Jesus emptied himself and took the form of a servant. So in Jesus, yes, Jesus came. He died for our sins. But he is also our doula. Servant helping us to be born. And the truth is, we are likewise to be servants, doula, to one another. Now, this is a very different take for me on the brethren idea of service. I mean, so often when we think of service, we are thinking of going and doing things. We are thinking about going and cleaning up after disasters. We are thinking about helping other people. We are setting ourselves aside and doing things. But what about the concept of being a servant as someone who is present as a helper to the whole birth process? We are doulos to one another. You, my friend, are God's doula. Think about that. You are God's doula. You are present throughout this birth process that we are all a part of. When a person steps out into new life, like, I bet if I asked you, who were some of God's doula around you, you know, on your birthday? You could probably name some. You probably could name some as well. We could each name persons who were God's doulas with us. Right? And so my challenge to you is, you are God's doula.